Bruce Williamson is from the independent campaign group Rail Future and joins me now. Bruce, good morning and a happy new year to you.
Yes, happy new year.
Thank you for being with us this morning. So 1.1% increase, which is the fares, or the average amount that fares are set to rise. What do you make of that?
Well, we have to sort of compare it to what's happening in the real world, where prices in your supermarket are virtually stagnant. And I have to get a bit technical now. So there's two ways of measuring inflation. There's the CPI figure, which most people regard as the consumer price index. And most people regard that as a sort of an accurate way of measuring inflation. And that's virtually zero. That's been hovering around zero for a while. And there's this other measure, the retail price index, which is the higher measure, and that's about 1.1%, which is why the rail fares are going up. Now, the government always says it prefers CPI. CPI is more accurate, but strangely, when it comes to rail fares, they always use the RPI figure, which is why the rail fares go up, you know, and they go up more than real-world inflation. So, the real cost of travelling by train is going up and up and up, and we don't think that's fair.
What should... I mean, if you had your way, then what would the increase be? Zero, or indeed,
a
cut?
We for a long time said that the government should use CPI, and that would be zero this year, and it would have been lower rail fare increases in the past. I mean, not only do the government use RPI, but for many years they've actually gone for RPI plus one. So they've deliberately gone, put prices up in real terms, and contrast that as well. It's with a situation where, for the motorist, oil prices are falling, and the government has frozen fuel duty for motorists for 4 years on the trot now. It seems extra unfair that they're putting this extra pain on rail passengers.
Rail Minister Claire Perry has said they're helping hard-working people with the costs of transport, put a stop to inflation-busting increases in regulated fares until 2020. This will save the average season ticket holder £425 in this Parliament. I mean, it is a much lower increase than we had, say, I think in about 2009, when it was, wasn't it about 8 or 9%, something like that?
I think I can't get the figures off the top of my head. It certainly has been a lot more in the past, yeah. So, I mean, it is one of the lowest we've seen in a long time, but the idea that by putting up prices you're saving people money is just ludicrous. That's just absolute nonsense, you know.
It's a difficult one, though, isn't it? Because ultimately, the train company, obviously there are lines that will make money, and I think I'm right in saying hand money back to the to Network Rail, which then goes to subsidise loss-making routes. The problem is, though, who pays? Because if there is no subsidy from the government, or less of a subsidy, fares have to go up. So either way, the public pay.
I totally agree, yeah. There's no getting away from the fact that if you want a decent railway, you've got to pay for it one way or another. But the reason, that we subsidise the railways is because of the sort of the practicality and the social gain you get from doing that. You know, it's possibly sort of less true for Wiltshire, which obviously is a much more rural area. But if you imagine London with no tubes, then it would be absolutely unmanageable. And we also have very overcrowded roads. So if we can encourage people to travel by rail, it's a greener form of transport. There's all sorts of, advantages of travelling by rail, which we want to encourage. And interestingly, despite the government's best efforts to price people off the railways, passenger numbers continue to go up and up and up. They've virtually doubled in the last 20 years. So there's something right about trains that people are liking, despite the fact of the pain in the wallet.
I heard it said, and I don't know whether this is an old wives' tale or something to that effect, many years ago when British Rail were running the railways, that one of the reasons that prices went up was because they actually wanted to discourage people from using it because the trains were crowded. I mean, you could say the same was true now. And I was at Oxford Railway Station the other day, and there was some video display which suggested that the trains were almost at capacity in terms of they couldn't take any more passengers.
Well, indeed, it's true of a lot of lines, actually. There's some lines that are regularly over capacity, and it is a sort of way of managing demand. Clearly, if you put prices up, you're going to tend to deter people. But, looking at the big picture, we don't want to do that. We want to encourage people to travel by trains, and I mentioned this doubling of passenger numbers. We certainly haven't seen a doubling of the number of trains that are running on the railways, or a doubling of the lines, or a doubling of the number of stations. So, in terms of congestion, it seems destined to get even worse. So I think, there is some truth in it's easier for the government to put prices up and sort of price people off the railways than to than to do that investment, which takes an awful lot of time, to sort of accommodate people's desires to travel by rail.
Well, obviously, this government have been very clear that they see the future of the railways as being in the private sector, but Labour saying today that they would bring it back into public ownership.
Yeah.
I mean, really, would that make things any better? Because people have memories of British Rail, of it being shambolic.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the thing about British Rail is actually, for all its sort of faults, British Rail did a very good job of running a railway on an absolute shoestring budget. And that's, you know, the cause of many of the problems. I mean, British Rail got an awful lot of things right, like the Intercity 125 trains that are still trundling up and down the Great Western Main Line that we love, and, that, you know, they're still our favourite train. You know, compared to some of our European counterparts, British Rail was starved of investment. And, you know, if you want a decent railway, it's that same point again. You've got to pay for it. And, you know, I think British Rail could do it. There were examples recently of when the Great Eastern, GNER franchise was transferred to the public sector.
This is the line from King's Cross to Newcastle and Edinburgh.
That's right, yeah. The East Coast Main Line, that's the phrase I'm struggling to find. Mm. That had very high customer satisfaction figures, and it seemed to do very well. But the government, probably for sort of political dogmatic reasons, decided to privatise it again. You pays your money and takes your choice, really. I think it could work well either in the private or the public sector. Clearly, in the private sector at the moment, as I mentioned, we've got these increasing passenger numbers. The only problem is with a fragmented, franchised railway, that there's an awful lot of bureaucracy involved in that. And I think a nationalised whole railway has sort of economies of scale and streamlining that would probably be advantageous.
Mm. Just one final point, this is all, you know, coming out from the various political parties. Labour have calculated that a season ticket from Swindon to London has gone up by £1,640 since 2010 and now costs £8,280. I mean, for the year, do you think that's a lot of money?
It is. I mean, particularly when you're paying for it in one chunk at one go at the start of the year, it seems absolutely eye-watering. If you look at it on a sort of per-journey basis, it starts to become a bit more attractive, and it works out quite a lot cheaper than taking the car in many cases. But, yeah, again, the overall levels of fares, and compare it to other countries in Europe, they are high, and we will continue to shout that they are too high and that the rail passengers deserve better.
Mm. Wouldn't it be the case, though, that whatever the fare, we would always moan?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, though, we would, wouldn't we?
We would, probably, yeah. We like to moan. But, if you imagine yourself running a railway, things will go wrong. With the best will in the world, things will go wrong from time to time, and you'll take it in the neck from poor old passengers.
Yeah. According to my calculations, £8,280 a year works out to be, I don't know if I've done this right or not, but it's about £32 a day.
Yeah.
So...
Which
doesn't seem a lot of money, that, really.
It's still a lot of money, but
it's £15 each way.
Yeah, so. I'm assuming that's like, you know, Swindon to London or something.
Yeah, it is.
You know, but if you did that in the car, it would certainly cost you more than that in fuel, wouldn't it? And depreciation and so on. So it's still good value for money, although it may not seem like it.
Yeah, it's really good to talk to you. Thank you for taking our call today. We do appreciate it. We actually got you out of bed this morning, didn't
we? Yeah, you did.
But interesting one, and I know obviously it does concern a lot of people, and always an interesting discussion. Bruce Williamson from the Independent Campaign Group Rail Future. Many thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. Cheers. Bye.
It's just after 20 to 10.